Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are delighted that you're listening in with us.
We are delighted. Thanks for hanging out. Hey, we'd love for you to join in the conversation. Log on to facebook.com/themusicrowshow to chat alongside with us.
Yeah, don't forget Twitter. You can also get us there at the Music Row Show. And then after the show, we'll put some pictures up. You can find us on Instagram, again, at the Music Row Show.
We're big on this Twitters and Instagrams.
Oh, yeah. Just I'll wait till they combine the two. It's just going
to Twitter, Twistergram.
Heads explode.
Okay, never mind.
Listen, in case you haven't heard, what? Dish subscribers, you can now watch us on Dish because Blue Highways TV is now on Dish.
9 years on the air. Yeah. Crystal, can you believe that? We are just this smooth.
Smooth.
You guys are pretty good at this.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, what Hino was saying was you can watch us several times a week on Channel 73 all over the United States, and for the first time now that Dish has picked us up,
yeah,
right here in Nashville, so yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah. We're sorry, Nashville. Really, we are.
Are you kidding me? You're welcome, Nashville.
You're welcome, is what we mean Nashville.
To say. We're kind okay. of a big deal.
Wait, yeah.
Don't you know who I am?
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Every week I hear from our viewer, my mom.
Yeah.
And she says,
my mom won't watch.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's sitting here on the couch.
I know.
With a rolling pin in her hand. Hino, who is this lovely woman we have here with us tonight?
Yeah, well, you know what? We have the honor of visiting with recording artist and songwriter Crystal Bowersox is joining us right now. You may remember Crystal from her stint on American Idol. She was one of the top two finalists on 2010's American Idol, right opposite Lee DeWise, who... Darn that, Lee. I was rooting for you, Crystal.
Well, thank you.
I really was. But since then, she's gone on to a successful recording and touring career as a solo artist. And her latest release is called Promises. I listened to it earlier today. It's a funky good album. It's really, really good.
You need to slow down when you say that.
Funky.
Okay, good.
Got a great groove to it, yeah.
There goes the FCC.
Yeah, really. Anyway, we love it that you're here. Crystal Bowersox, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thanks for having me.
Yay! So what Hino didn't mention is you just recently moved here.
I did. So, I am now a Nashville resident.
Welcome.
Nice.
Yeah. Welcome. Right. And you know what's funny, and this is a little aside, but when you were on Idol, and my wife and I both said, you know, she has an Oregon vibe. Because we lived in Oregon for a long time. And you ended up living in Portland for a while, too. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. When I went through the American Idol experience, I was living in Chicago, Illinois, and had been there for 6 years and wanted something new, and I moved to Portland, and we lived in the same neighborhood.
Look at that. Yeah. How about that? Well, talk about coming here. What motivated the relocation at this point in time? What made you want to come to Nashville?
Well, it's Nashville.
Well, there's that.
You know, I move here and then find my neighbor, who's now my mandolin player and friend. It's
perfect.
Mr. David Freeman.
Who's also from Ohio?
Yeah, he's from Cincinnati, and I'm from Northwest Ohio, and we're both down here. But, I mean, Nashville is just saturated with crazy talented people, and, the music here, it's just easy to be a musician in Nashville, and the history is wonderful. So,
right.
And the people are so nice. I think the community here is different than it is in, say, New York or L.A. It's more of a, you know, lift each other up kind of thing rather than overly competitive,
yeah.
You know?
Kill each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of love here.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
We've talked about that, the different... I wonder how much of that is geographic, too, though. I know, like, with Southern California, you're so spread out. It's hard to feel that community, even though you're all.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like you have to drive a lot farther in Southern California.
That's true.
To get from place to place. Here, it's a small town vibe.
Yeah.
You know, and that Southern charm thing going on too. I just really like it.
Well, good. Well, we're glad you're here.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, during your time in Chicago the first time around, you played a lot of clubs, a lot of.
Street all the
corners, all the riffraff, all the train stations and stuff. So, but you did a lot of busking as a performer there.
Yeah.
What kind of training does that give you as a performer to do that kind of performance out in public like that?
Well, you get really used to being ignored.
Yeah.
but also, in the subway, I made it a point that when a train would come by, that I refused to stop singing, and I had to be louder than that train.
Oh, wow.
In those bellowous tunnels, that's not an easy thing to do.
Sure.
So translate that to being on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned to project my voice all the way to the back of whatever size theater I'm in. Which has also come in handy with my six-year-old, you know.
Yeah, I got one too, yeah.
Telling him what to do. So, I also, you know, it was a great place to try out material and see, you know, if folks put their head down and walked away, or if they would move a little and dance, or, you know, maybe I got a 5 or a 20 on something. But it also, it shows you what you're made of.
Yeah. So what makes one busker more successful than another? I mean, or what kind of tips can you give to anybody out there doing that kind of thing right now?
I don't know. I think just always be friendly and courteous and kind. That's a good thing. And people want to hear songs that are familiar, but throw an original in there, mm-hmm. and someone's ear is going to perk up. And also just never give up. I mean, in Chicago, one night I was at the House of Blues opening for someone, and then the next day I'd be back 8 hours in the subway, and I had a lot of really amazing gigs in between busking. Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody, but I enjoyed my time doing it. If I had, you know, now it would be a choice. I would go back and play a few songs if I could out in the street. But I don't have to do it anymore. It's like eating ramen noodles. Now if I eat ramen, it's because I want to, not because it's all I can afford. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Our producer, Logan, is a ramen master. Oh, no.
Yeah. But I mean, I like ramen. You can add stuff to it. It's great.
Yeah,
yeah,
there you go. So I got another busking question, because I was wondering this. I was in New York this summer, and one day I did not plan well, and I ended up lugging my guitar all day long through New York City, going through the subways. But I was thinking, you know, I could just open this up and play. But I don't know if I'm sure there's some sort of etiquette. You have to have a certain distance. These areas are probably... You know, you probably had your spot. Everybody knew that's where Crystal's doing her thing 8 hours a day. So I was afraid if I pulled it out, I'd get shanked or something. No.
Well, I don't know about New York City. I've never bussed in New York.
But so let's talk about Chicago. What's the etiquette there?
There's definitely it's its own subculture.
It's a microcosm, right?
Yeah. You know, you have to be licensed through the city.
Really?
And it's, I think it, when I had mine, it was like $50, and you get a little card with your picture on it. I still have it. It's an awful photo of me. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to have that on display, and I would wake up at 3 or 4, make it downtown, to the Washington Red Line stop, by, you know, 5 a.m. and then hope that I was the first person there, because it's first come,
First serve, okay.
And, you know, then wait, because people didn't start showing up until, you know, morning rush hours, like 7, 8 o'clock.
So you're just sitting there with a cup of coffee trying to keep warm?
Yep, and if you run out of coffee or it gets cold and your stuff is with you, you have to leave and you risk losing your spot. You know, thankfully I befriended the beat cops, the police. Okay. And so they would watch my stuff if I brought them back coffee. And we had we had a nice relationship, friendship going there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a tip right there.
Yeah. There it is.
Crystal's busking.
Yeah.
So police.
So if I would have just pulled out my guitar, they could have asked me for my license and hauled me away to the pokey.
And shot you.
Right, because
much.
You're
shot me.
You'd be it's a criminal. Yeah. Criminal move. I don't know. It's I do understand that there needs to be some regulation, and there's performers have to be within a certain distance of each other as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's interesting.
Don't ban music in the streets. Music should be everywhere.
Right. Listen to Crystal Bower Sox. Okay. Well, that's good. That's interesting.
So you did your first demos, I hear, like when you were about 10 or so.
Yeah.
What was 10-year-old Crystal aspiring to at that point when you were recording those demos?
You know, I just recently went through a bunch of old journals and things, and it was like, I'm going to make it someday. I'm going to be a big star. But I had no idea what that meant or how much work would be involved in to getting there. 10-year-old Crystal was the farm kid. I had no idea. But I wrote about everything and wrote songs, and my guitar was it was an appendage. It went with me everywhere. But I don't know. As I got older, you know, songwriting developed more, and was booking myself in local bars and clubs. But I didn't really understand how the industry worked until after American Idol. I don't think I would have gone to American Idol if I had understood how to make it in the industry. Mm. I had no idea. I didn't have any resources or tools. I didn't have the book, Everything You Need to Know About the Music Business by Donald Passman.
Yeah.
didn't know about that book until after. I don't know. I don't regret anything about my journey thus far. I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here at this table with you guys if things hadn't worked out just the way they have.
Well, you know, that may not be such a great thing later. You're going to go, man, well, why on earth did I agree to do this? Okay, let's back it up one more time then. You said you were out there, you were booking your own gigs, you're playing, you're writing songs. So give us an idea of what your career was like before Idol. What did the gigs look like? How big of an area were you touring in? Were you traveling a lot, or were you staying close to Chicago?
Yeah, I wasn't making enough money to tour. I was in Toledo, Ohio before Chicago, and, you know, playing local bar gigs, 4-hour, you know, cover song, background music gigs. And even in Chicago, you know, the only time that I really got to do originals was, you know, at open mics or small showcases. And then I'd play covers in the subway and mix in a couple of originals, but I wouldn't call it a career prior to, although it was my main source of income. So, you know, I guess that would make it my job.
It was a ramen career.
It was a ramen career.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. But I loved it.
Good.
It fed my spirit.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Not the ramen, but the music.
Well, yeah, the music. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick little break. This segment was brought to you by Top Ramen. No, it isn't. It was brought to you by our friends at Toyota of Cool Springs. We both drive Toyotas. And it's really cool to have a place that we know we can take and get them worked on, or go look at new Toyotas and not be jumped or pounced on.
That's true. And you know what? It's my wife went and had our van serviced a couple of days ago there. And it's great to have a place where you can feel comfortable. Hopefully this doesn't sound sexist, but where you can send your wife and you know that they're not going to try to talk her in anything and tell her, oh, my gosh, your car needs to be replaced now and you need to buy a new one, that kind of thing. Because we've all heard stories about, you know, dealerships and that kind of thing, and it's not like that at all. It's so comfortable, so laid back. They do such great work. You can just feel comfortable sending your family there.
Well, and your wife and me, because nowadays I open up the hood, I don't know what's in there anymore. It's not like the old days when the Ford had the engine with four moving
parts. I'm pretty
sure
they still have engines.
They still have engines, but with a lot more doohickeys, and I'm not a fan of doohickeys.
No.
And get off my lawn. but go see George, the owner at Toyota of Cool Springs. He's a good guy. He's going to take good care of you, and they have a new dealership.
That's true, and we'll tell you about that real soon.
Soon.
But go visit them online at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Crystal Bowersox here on The Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Crystal Bowersox, and that is a tune called No Time off of her brand new project called Promises.
Indeed.
Love that.
And I was going to say, let's talk more, but you're standing up. You're strapped on. Come on, let's get a song from
with
you.
The guitar.
Okay. What do you say?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. Let's see. This is my favorite post-divorce song. This is called Now That You're Gone.
Thank you.
Repositioning microphones there real quick. No, you know, I love that. That was great.
Thank you.
How cool to find a neighbor that can play mandolin and sing harmonies with you.
It's pretty great.
My neighbor cuts my grass.
Yeah.
I have one of those too. Rick,
do you?
Well, yeah, Rick cuts my grass for beer.
Nice.
I love it.
All right, Rick. Okay. And of course, we were all introduced to you. Oh, there's your water back. On American Idol, and on the show, you always seemed to me, anyways, like someone who was very, very comfortable and confident in your skin. And in your own voice. You knew who you were artistically. And I'm just curious for people looking at maybe trying out for that show or any of these shows in the future, how important is knowing who you are before you get in there?
I think it's, I mean, it's imperative, really. You want to, of course, listen to criticism and take things into consideration. You're thrown into the pit of professionals and people who know what they're doing in the industry. But you also have to have a very strong sense of self, and know your voice, know your strengths. I learned a lot on American Idol, and it wasn't all just about how to apply makeup and heels and everything. Performing under pressure, that was something I hadn't really done before. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're playing a bar gig, it's like you start when you want to and do whatever you want at that show. But,
right.
I think that I have changed a lot since then. Mm-hmm. I knew who I was then in that moment, but also have grown a lot since then, just through that experience and the advice that I've gotten from friends in the industry and everything since then. But you fake it till you make it.
There you go.
You know?
Well, how much pressure do contestants get on a show like that to mold into a particular style or image as you go through it?
You know, there are vocal coaches.
Okay.
And I loved my vocal coaches. They said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But let's teach you how to dance.
Okay.
I'm awful. But yeah, there's some pressure. You know, the stylists and it's a television show.
Sure.
They're looking for ratings. You know, if I showed up on the show and my dirty jeans and whatever I'm wearing right now, it's probably not going to make great television. I don't know.
Well, I hope so.
But she's sitting down. So
yeah. Sitting down. That's right.
That helps.
That's right. No, but I think that has a lot to do with, and I think there's been, what I've seen, there's been those few out there, and you're one of them that came in and, look, this is who I am. That's how you presented yourself. And whereas I think maybe some of the youngsters are being told who they are musically and how to dress, whereas you had your thing going.
Well, it's funny you say that. I came off that way because, looking back on it now, I know in that moment that I maybe it was like, oh, who are these people going to tell me what to do? But I was shaking in my boots like the rest of them, too.
Yeah.
It's an air of confidence, but I think I was terrified by the whole thing. I was terrified of success, of actually getting all the way to the end and winning. Like, what would that have meant? I don't know. I was, each time, I mean, I knew that the judges, it was simply their opinion.
Right.
It's just like something else in this world. Everybody's got an opinion, you know?
Sure.
Right.
Their opinions wouldn't define me or who I was, but it would sway everyone who's watching.
Right.
Whose votes you were counting
whose
on.
Whose votes I was counting on, yeah. Yes. But I really had to separate myself from the entire experience and just, say, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever happens, happens. I could not have any expectations or hold on to any particular outcome because that is, I would just set myself up for disappointment if it were to play out that way. So whatever happened, I was cool with it.
There you go.
I just have to live my life that way.
Well, and that's a good philosophy for living in Nashville, too. If you come in here and say, I need to have a hit song in 2 years, you're setting yourself up to have a really disappointing time while you're here instead of taking in everything that Nashville has to offer and getting there in your own time.
Yeah, but there's also, I kind of believe in the law of attraction, and I think it's called The Secret. Shh, don't tell. But putting things out into the universe when you speak confidently and you state things as if it is already in your life.
Right.
Which I guess is also the power of prayer too, is setting your intention. So I do that.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
I'm going to have a hit song in 2 years.
There you go.
There you go.
There you
year
go.
And a half.
There we go.
Well, your hometown episodes were kind of interesting.
Well, okay. Yeah. I've always wondered about this. So you go back to your hometown.
Mm-hmm.
How surreal is it that there's thousands of people there holding signs and screaming your name? And in the same town that you were probably playing in bars and coffee houses at 2 a.m. to 3 people.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. I know I've played in bars to 3 people and 2 of them were bartenders. So,
yep.
So how weird is it to suddenly come back and everybody's like, oh,
it was strange, you know, and I tried not to be bitter in any way about it and just feel the love. The other night, I've been going through all my stuff and old photos and just kind of cleaning house, and I found a picture. Oh, wait, no, this was on an old undeveloped roll of film.
Oh, wow. Film. Tell me more about this
film. What is this film?
What is this film you speak of?
I took it to Rite Aid and got it developed and came back. There was a picture of a sign, and it said, Downtown Toledo Lunch Hour, Crystal Barrow Socks, BARROWSOCKS.
Okay.
Crystal Barrow Socks. And I thought, man, well, that's how much Toledo loved me back then.
They couldn't get the name right, yeah.
Yeah, but my name is a weird one, so, you know.
It's been misconstrued in worse ways than that.
Far worse ways.
Well.
Unmentionables on live.
I have no idea what that's like.
No, I know.
But no, it was great to feel the hometown love. I mean, they said that in the last 20 years, and even still, my English is awful. There has not been that many people downtown in 20 years.
Wow.
As there were at my hometown parade.
Oh, that's very
pretty
cool.
Awesome.
That was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Many leather bound books.
There you go.
Nice.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, your first album that you did after Idol, Farmer's Daughter.
Yeah.
I listened to that after I listened to Promises earlier today, and I was struck by how stylistically different it was. And I'm just curious, describe the process of putting that album together so quickly after the show, and how much input you were allowed to have as an artist.
Well, there was a rush on it. I worked with producer David Bendith in his studios in New Jersey, and he's an amazing talent. Some of the stuff that comes out of his studios blows my mind. But there was also, you know, A&R from the label was involved, and
right. You're
getting input from every angle, and all you want to do is be the artist. And they handed me 13 songs and said, here's your record. And I kind of was like, well, excuse me, I'm a songwriter. I have a story to tell. And I probably, I don't know, I might have burned a bridge pushing for my own material on that
really?
Record. But I am so proud of it and still to this day happy that, you know, a lot of the songs were songs that I had written by myself. Some of them, you know, were co-writes. But I'm happy that my management pushed for that.
Well, I listened to it on iTunes, so I didn't get any album credits. So how many of the songs did you write, or how many of them were the ones that they tried to force on you?
Let's see. There was one. Well, there was the For What It's Worth cover, which was my idea, and I love it. And then there was one. I mean, the majority of the record is all mine. There was three outside tunes. You know, I was hard-headed back then, too. And I was like, if I didn't write it, I don't want to sing it.
Uh-huh.
That attitude has definitely changed. You know, a great song is a great song, and it takes, you know, a great singer to deliver it well and stir up an emotion in the listener. So, you know, since I've been living here in Nashville, and I've just heard so many amazing songs and have been able to work with incredible co-writers, and, you know, there's just this there's something in collaboration that you'll never get when you're just sitting lonely by yourself with a little guitar.
That's true.
Some great songs come out of that too. That depressive little corner in my house where I'm writing sad songs, but
in minor.
Yeah, all minor. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a different person than I was then. My heart has been blown wide open since then, and I've grown up a lot. And I'm just excited to get to know everybody here in Nashville.
Good. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about Crystal the songwriter and co-writing and all of that fun stuff. And stick around. We got two more great segments with Crystal Bowersox. You're listening to The Music Row Show. We'll be right back. Show.
You hide it on the inside. Oh, but the light, it shines right through.
We're here with Crystal Bowersox, and that's a great tune called Sunshine Brighter off of her new album called Promises.
Hey, how can people buy this album?
Yeah, how
people
can
are
they
probably
buy
wondering
it?
That.
Amazon, iTunes, can go to a live show, and I'll sign it for you.
Nice. There you go.
I don't know. It's all over, I guess. Let's get on in there. How can people buy it? Oh, all right. Hello.
There we go. See, that's a microphone. I don't know if you... No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Good one, Hino.
Yeah.
Let's sing to campfires.
Make our guests mad at us.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
No
She's
way.
Been around a lot more microphones than we ever have, that's
don't,
for sure.
Don't worry. I don't hold grudges.
She just punches you in the throat.
Well, there's a lot of that going around. Well, you got this great guitar strapped on it, and you got your mandolin player there. What do you feel like playing for us?
I want to play this new song. My manager loves it when I play unreleased material. Nope. This is called Staycation, because I travel so much for work that all I want to do is sit in my sweatpants and hang out with my kid and eat bacon. So, thus, this song was born.
Bacon.
I know. Yeah, bacon. So good. This is Staycation. It's my first day off in a 60-hour, 5-minute shower, 7-day charade. Hooray for getting paid. My family says you never hear. The kids are raising themselves when you get home. You're someone else, someone who should really take a break. You should be fishing on a lake. If you waste your life just trying to survive, well, that ain't living. Before you know it, the kids are 45. Let's do some backyard camping, spin you around, do some dining room dancing, make sweet love in our driveway, in our garden, pretend we live in Hawaii, getting late, babe, you're making me crazy, we don't even have to go that far, throw it on the grill, wrap it up in bacon. Staycation. Whoa, whoa. The boss man called me Sunday morning about a warning. He asked if I'd come in. No way. I told him to go to heaven. No amount of money adds up to wealth. Even with insurance, you won't have health. When I leave home, my sanity's at stake. How many sick days can I take to do some backyard camping? Spin you around, do some dining room dancing, make sweet love in our driveway, in your car, pretend we live in Hawaii, yeah, in late. Thank you.
Ooh, do some dining room dancing. Make sweet love in our driveway, in our car. Pretend we live in Hawaii. Get laid, babe, you're making me crazy. We don't even have to go that far. Throw it on the grill, wrap it up in bacon. Off. Wrap everything in bacon. We're already living in paradise on a staycation. Whoa, whoa, on a staycation, yeah. Oh, well, everything's gonna be alright. Well, everything's gonna be alright. Well, everything's gonna be alright. Just hold me tight, hold me tight, hold me tight.
Yeah.
Most excellent.
All right. Love that.
We need to take one last break. This segment was brought to you by Tennessee Homeowners Association, who'd like to remind you to please don't be doing that in your driveway. we'll be right back with more of Crystal Bower Sox here on the Music Row Show.
Baby, don't buy me flowers. Don't buy me sweets. Don't give me useless little things. They don't make me complete. I don't want your money, honey. Lord, it's kind of funny. I just need your time to know that your sweet love is mine, all mine.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Mine, All Mine by our guest here this hour, Crystal Bower Sox.
That was our first.
That was off of Farmer's Daughter, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Record, I still say.
Record. What is this record? Yeah.
What is this record? So, okay, you were talking songwriting.
Yes.
Have you always been a collaborative songwriter? And there's a two-part question. Then what's your favorite part of co-writing and what's the biggest challenge for you?
I have not always been a collaborative songwriter. For me, it was very personal thing. From, you know, it was therapy, it was my journal.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't really want to share unless I was performing it. What was the second question?
Part two. What do you love about the collaboration here in Nashville, and what are maybe some of the challenges since you weren't always collaborative?
I learned so much through working with other writers. Mm-hmm. Just their process, and you know, sometimes I get lazy in certain ways and choices, you know, and working with Maya Sharp, actually, she produced the project Promises. You know, she would not rest until we made the perfect. It had to be perfect. And I'd just be like, oh, come on already. This word works. This is fine. She wouldn't let me rest. And I'm so glad that she didn't. And I wish I could motivate myself like that sometimes.
Well, let's talk about Promises, because that's a great album. As I said, I loved every song on it. It was really good. What was the concept behind that project when you started putting it together?
There were songs that I had started recording in Santa Fe, New Mexico, before my second full-length record came out. That was going to be my second album.
Oh, okay.
But then Shaunakee came along. That was the independent label I signed with. They said, we want to start over and do something else. So I started a new album in Portland, Oregon, with Steve Berlin. And mm-hmm. He did a great job producing that. So those recordings were just put on the shelf. And then after all that for this was released, I thought, you know, I want to finish them up. So I did, as an independent release. And Maya Sharp and Linda Taylor and John O'Manson, we made it happen. We finished them up. They started in Santa Fe, and then we did everything else in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Traveling around. I get
it. Yeah. Some great players on there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dan Orndiff, actually. Do you guys know Sarah Potenza?
No.
Mm-mm. You should know her.
Okay.
Sarah, if you're listening, I love you.
We love you too, Sarah. Yeah,
a lot.
She's going to be at City Winery.
You just made it creepy with the
I make everything creepy. I don't even know how I do it, but it just happens.
Well, Sarah Potenza is a friend of mine from before American Idol, and then she just recently was on The Voice.
Oh, and, okay.
You know, we just we knew each other from way back, and her old, well, I don't say when I, her guitar player from when she was Sarah and the Tall Boys came to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and did a lot of the guitar stuff on Promises. Just good friends, good players, and good co-writing. Maya Sharp is great. She's written for Trisha Yearwood, Dixie Chicks, Bonnie Raitt, and little old me.
So my, well, yeah. Come on, Sarah, come visit us sometime. So, okay, I've spent a lot of Saturday nights backstage at the Opry. I love that. I love the whole vibe there and seeing everybody interact with each other. And Vince has walked by me many times. He's been on the show before. Mm. Not once has he asked me to come on stage and play his guitar and sing a song just on the spur of the moment. But wise obviously man. That happened to you.
It did.
So talk about that. How? Just tell us what kind of awesome that was.
This is probably one of the greatest moments of my life. And then I'll talk about that first. I just was there as a spectator, and somebody told Vince that I was there. I'm not even sure that he knew who I was or had ever heard me, but, you know, as nice as he is, he's like, well, come on, buddy. Sing us a song. And he tuned up his guitar, and it happened right then and there. And I really grapple with an inferiority complex. I just could not believe that was happening. And in the middle of the song, made that well known to the audience. I had a little moment of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't keep it in.
Well, you were so happy. It was cool to see.
Yeah. And then my 30th birthday, actually, I went to 3rd and Lindsley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And got up and sang with the Time Jumpers.
With some Time Jumpers.
Nice.
Yeah, that was awesome. He's the nicest man in Nashville, Mr. Vince.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so what'd you sing?
Patsy Cline Crazy.
Very good.
Nice. Yeah. All right.
Very good.
So now that you're an officially a Nashvillian and you're doing your thing here, any chance you might be trying out the country genre at all? Or?
I mean, I think that's what I am. I grew up on a farm in Northwest Ohio, and I learned to drive a car in a cornfield, like, you know, doing donuts and, you know, hunting and canoeing and all that stuff. But I think on my first record and my second that I wrote country songs and was really fighting the production of country songs. In fact, Steve Berlin on my second record, he said just that. He's like, these songs are kind of country, but I'm going to do anything but that in production.
We'll fix that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like when I was 17, I moved away to the big city and thought I was real cool and everything. And now all I want to do is get back to wide open spaces. And the next record, I don't know if it'll be pop country or per se or mainstream or whatever. It's going to be what it will be, but organic roots. Let's see what happens in the studio.
That's exciting.
Okay. Yeah.
So what are some aspects of, because you tour a lot. You really do. And people can find you on Twitter and Instagram, and that's a good way of figuring out where you're going to be and what's going on with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on Twitter and Instagram?
Twitter is at Crystal Bowersox. That's CrystalBowersox.
Perfect. And Instagram?
Instagram is the same.
Okay.
And Facebook is facebook.com/CrystalBowersox. And... it is not spelled like how I spelled it earlier. Again, Bowersox.
There you go.
There you go. So, but you're out there, you're playing a lot. What are the aspects of a touring performer, musician's life that you think might surprise the casual fan?
How unglamorous it really is for me. I do a lot of my own driving, and I have a minivan. That's my tour bus because I'm frugal, not cheap. I want to put, you know, money away for my kid for college. And so I do frugal to, you know, pay a driver or rent a bus or anything like that. So
a lot
you
of
love touring with me, don't you, David Freeman?
Yes.
And the band has to walk.
They ride their bike.
They ride
to the
their
shows.
Bike.
Yeah, well.
So is it coffee or Red Bull when you're on the road?
It's coffee for me.
Coffee.
I drink way too much coffee. I should switch to tea probably or something like that.
Not if you're driving.
Yeah.
Listen, these are important things.
Driving advice from Scott Southworth.
What? I'm on the road too. I just,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to be looking for minivans.
That is true.
License plate, Mama Socks.
Okay.
All right. Well, you'll be easy to spot. That's for sure. That's for sure. So what? Any touring plans? Anything coming up real soon here that people can go see at?
Yeah, actually. I'll be at the City Winery here in Nashville, January 29th.
Excellent.
And I'm really looking forward to that. Tickets are on sale next week, and then the day after that, I will be with my friend Steve Seskin at the Bluebird.
Oh, sweet.
For his seminars.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's wonderful. We've been doing some co-writing actually out in the Bay Area. I'm really looking forward to that. And then February, I take off. Kind of a one day at a time kind of gal. I got to look at my calendar, but
yeah.
I'll be all over this country.
Okay. We'll be looking for her. Look for her on Twitter. Look for her on Instagram. What a pleasure to have you here. I really enjoyed
this.
Thank
you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
CrystalBowerSocks.com. That's the website you should go check out. And then when you're done with that, go visit themusicrowshow.com. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, go hit us up on all the social stuff. It's at The Music Row Show everywhere. You can find us pretty easily.
And happy birthday to producer Logan, huh?
Happy birthday, producer
happy
Logan.
Happy birthday, producer Logan. There, now I don't have to buy you a present.
There you go. We'll see you next week on The Music Row Show. Strong.